Hello, everyone. Welcome to our The Week That Was in Europe podcast. My name is Dirk Schumacher. I'm the head of European macro research at Natixis. And with me is Klaus Adam, professor of economics at the University of Mannheim.
Hello, also from my side. So today we want to talk about fiscal policy in Europe. Usually it's a monetary policy that is in the limelight and getting most of the attention among financial market participants. And indeed, most financial markets still focus on monetary policy decisions. Yet fiscal policy is getting interesting again, so to speak, and is slowly gaining more attention. And of course, this podcast tries to be ahead of the curve. And so we decide to discuss fiscal policy in the euro area. So renewed interest in fiscal policy topics was triggered by the recent publication of the 2023 deficit numbers for the euro area. It showed rather big differences amongst the four biggest euro area economies. Germany recorded the lowest general government deficit number, equal to just 2% of GDP for 2023. The next highest number was recorded for Spain, which saw a deficit number of 3.6% for 2023. Then comes France with 5.5%, and finally Italy with a whopping 7.2% deficit.
Yeah, and things could even get worse because the Italian deficit could get revised upwards. This is because it's unclear how high expenditures for the so-called super bonus really were in 2023. That is expenditures associated with tax deductions for housing renovations, which have been quite popular among Italian households. So some commentators claim that the Italian deficit number for 2023 could eventually be revised all the way up to 10% of GDP, which would be obviously quite a large number. That's just some commentators. And again, the official number is different, but that's important to keep in mind nevertheless.
Yeah, so this speculation about this upward revision is one reason why fiscal policy is getting interesting again. But there is more to it, and this has to do with the budget discussions for 2024 and 2025. So the Italian and French governments are currently still debating the details of their budget for this year, 2024. So the French finance minister has announced to reduce the deficit by 20 billion for 2024. However, news reports point to disagreement between President Macron and the finance ministry on how to best achieve this. The Italian government confirmed earlier this month its deficit forecast for the current year 2024 to be equal to 4.3%. However, many details are missing on how the government plans to achieve this. And last but not least, Germany is also struggling, not with the 2024 budget, which is already settled, but with the 2025 budget, because it has the debt brake written into its constitution, which limits the fiscal room and requires finding areas where to cut expenditures. So arguably, Germany, Italy, and France are all struggling to find suitable budgets. But Italy and France are perhaps struggling because they have no effective fiscal rule, which at times allows too much fiscal space, while Germany is struggling because it has very strict fiscal rules, which requires being very conservative with regard to spending all the time.
So given this situation, we'll discuss three interesting issues in this podcast. So first, we want to see what explains the big divergence in deficits across countries and whether the current divergence is in any way unusually by historical standards. And second, we want to understand by how much fiscal consolidation is needed, how much is needed, also in light of the new fiscal rules in the euro area. And thirdly, we want to discuss how fiscal consolidation should be implemented in a way that limits the adverse effects on economic output.
Of course, easy and definite answers to these three questions do not exist. Nevertheless, we can try to shed some light on these issues. So let's start with the first question, namely, what explains the big divergence in deficits and is the current divergence in any way unusual? The deficit is the gap between government revenues and expenditures, and here we're interested in the deficit to GDP ratio, that is, the deficit relative to the country's GDP. The deficit to GDP ratio changes over time with changes in the revenue to GDP ratio and with changes in expenditures over GDP. We can thus decompose the current divergence in deficit to GDP numbers into the existing deficit to GDP numbers prior to the pandemic, say for the year 2019, and then the changes in revenue to GDP and expenditure to GDP between 2019 and 2023. And this is what we talk about now.
So let's start by having a look at the situation in 2019. In 2019, Germany had a budget surplus of 1.5% of GDP, while Spain had the highest deficit number among the four largest euro area economies, with a deficit of 3.6% of GDP. In between were Italy, with a deficit of just 1.6%, and France, with a deficit of 2.4%. The range between the best and worst performing economy in 2019, that is between Germany and Spain, was thus 5.1 percentage point. It's essentially the same gap we see for 2023. The largest gap in 2023 is between Germany and Italy and stands at 5.2 percentage point. So at least in terms of divergence between countries, not much seems to have happened based on the current numbers, which indeed could get revised up as we alluded to earlier here.
So now let's have a look at what happened between 2019 and 2023. Strikingly, there's one economy whose deficit numbers have barely moved between 2019 and 2023, and that is Spain. It had the 3.1 deficit in 2019 and the 3.6 deficit in 2023. And this is the case because Spain's revenue over GDP and expenditures over GDP grew at roughly the same rate between 2019 and 2023. As a result, the deficit to GDP number has not moved much for this country.
Now, this is quite different for the other three big economies. In France and Germany, deficits have expanded by around 3 to 3.5% of GDP. In Germany, on the back of rising expenditures to GDP ratios, and in France, both of rising expenditure to GDP and falling revenue to GDP. The big outlier is Italy, where the deficit increased by a whopping 5.6% between 2019 and 2023. Surprisingly, this has happened despite displaying relatively strong growth in revenue to GDP rate of 1.5%. The problem here was the growth of expenditures as a share of GDP. Those rose by 7.3%, which obviously is a lot.
So summing up, in Spain, revenues and expenditures as a share of GDP grew in lockstep, leaving the deficit unchanged. In France and Germany, deficits expanded by 3 to 3.5% of GDP. In Germany, this was purely driven by an expansion of expenditures to GDP. In France, it was about half revenues to GDP falling and half rising expenditures over GDP. In Italy, the deficit expanded strongly by 5.6% of GDP, despite a significant increase in revenues as a share of GDP. Here, the culprit is expenditures over GDP.
So the difference in fiscal deficits is high, but not unusual. It was similarly high in 2019 prior to the pandemic, and it's even higher during the financial crisis 2008-09, and also during the euro-era debt crisis in 2011 and 12. In 2012, for example, Spain recorded a deficit of around 10%, while Germany had more or less a balanced budget.
Good. So now let's talk about how much consolidation is needed in order to stabilize debt dynamics in these economies. And to provide some perspective, we take a rather broad view on the evolution of the debt to GDP ratio since the year 2000, that is, since the start of the monetary union. Germany's debt to GDP ratio showed almost no trend since the year 2000. It was at around 60% of GDP in the year 2000 and stands at around 65% of GDP at the end of 2023.
In contrast, France and Spain saw huge increases in their debt to GDP ratio between 2000 and 2023. The debt ratio was around 60% in the year 2000, but nearly doubled for both economies to around 110% in 2023. Italy started with a high initial level of debt of around 100% in 2000 and saw further increases to around 145% in 2023.
clearly, these longer term debt to GDP trajectories we see in France, Italy, and Spain seem not sustainable. This is true even if the high inflation rates of the past 2 to 3 years helped in bringing debt to GDP ratios down from their pandemic highs. A main reason for the divergence in debt to GDP ratio between Germany on the one hand and France, Italy, and Spain on the other is that the latter set of countries has on average much higher deficit to GDP ratios than Germany. And these higher deficit ratios induce an upward trend in their debt to GDP ratios over time. It's not the only factor, but it is an important factor. And this brings us to our next question, namely, how much consolidation would be needed?
So for the years 2000 to 2023, the average deficit to GDP ratio of France, Italy, and Spain was 3.2%. So we're just looking here on the unweighted country average, while the same number for Germany was 1.4%. So there's a deficit gap on average of 1.8 percentage points towards Germany between those other three countries. Somewhat surprisingly, this gap is rather stable over time. Looking at the average deficit to GDP number of France, Italy, and Spain, the average deficit tracks closely the deficit to GDP numbers in Germany, just that the average trajectory for France, Italy, and Spain is systematically shifted downwards.
So in some sense, these countries appear to suffer from something like a constant deficit bias relative to Germany. And it appears that eliminating this constant bias would get them a long way towards stabilizing their debt to GDP dynamics. Eliminating the bias against Germany calls for an average consolidation of around 1.8% of GDP. Of course, Italy currently would have to do considerably more, and Spain could do considerably less, given Spain's current deficit position.
Overall, this is quite a sizable deficit reduction. And of course, our simple calculation assumes the long-run economic growth does not depend negatively on the level of deficits run by the government, which seems a reasonable first approximation. Yet, with interest rates and government debt possibly falling in response to systematically lower deficits, these countries could also experience a further boost in terms of reducing debt to GDP level because of falling interest burdens.
Next, we want to come to the question of what the new euro area fiscal rules have to say about the need for deficit reduction. So the first thing that can be said is that the 3% deficit to GDP ratio still stands as an upper limit. It's part of the European treaty. For Spain, this would involve a consolidation of just 0.6% of GDP. But for France, it's already 2.5% of GDP. And for Italy, it would be 4.2% of GDP, and possibly even more if deficits get revised upwards. So these are large numbers. And of course, one wouldn't expect this to be done in one go. In fact, the updated European fiscal rules specify that the European Commission will define a so-called reference trajectory, such that government debt is, I quote, on a plausible downward trajectory or stay at prudent levels over the medium term, end quote.
When defining this reference trajectory, the EU Commission will ensure that debt reduction takes place in a, and I quote, gradual, realistic, sustained, and growth-friendly manner while protecting reforms and investment in strategic areas such as digital, green, social, or defense, end quote. What all this means in practice is hard to know ex ante, but it's likely to going to be that the path, at least prospectively, lands these economies at or below 3% deficit limit.
So let's now talk about the chances that this deficit reduction towards the 3% level will actually happen. And for two reasons, we are skeptical and actually think chances are somewhat low. First, based on past experience, it is likely that the enforcement of the European fiscal rules, whether old or new, will not be particularly effective. So any nice reference trajectory that gets Italy and France towards a 3% deficit ratio will be just that, for reference only. The second reason is that currently there is no market pressure. Sovereign spreads for 10-year benchmark debt for France and Italy against Germany are surprisingly low, And if there is no pressure on this front, governments are simply not forced to act.
I agree, but it's also a fact that market pressure can be quite digital. So investors tend to ignore, not care about the fiscal policy until they do care a lot. And then they can suddenly push rates sharply higher and in the process contribute to exacerbating the fiscal imbalances. While the sheer possibility of a violent market reaction could in principle induce governments to consolidate, it's also true that governments don't like to confront problems that have yet to materialize. So one shouldn't be too hopeful on this front that, that market pressures or the anticipation of potential market pressure might do the trick here.
So an interesting question is, of course, why is the market so calm about the current debt situation? And here we can see a number of reasons. Number one, it's possible that the market is still swayed by the recent decline in the debt to GDP ratios that has happened over the past 2 to 3 years because of the inflation surprise. This effect will likely disappear by the end of the current year, so that debt to GDP ratios will start rising again and embark on their longer term upward growth trend in the countries we talked about, unless fiscal consolidation is undertaken. But realizing this may take some time. Second reason is that the market may have been swayed by the recent common debt issuance at the European level and is now somehow convinced that if something big happens to one of the big countries, there will be one form of bailout or another from the European side.
And there's yet a third potential factor, and that has to do with the relative weakness of the German economy and Germany being perceived by some, at least, as again the segment of Europe. And this makes, on a relative basis, other countries and their respective fiscal position look less problematic. So if one were to believe that Germany is facing a lot of structural issues that need to be addressed, and of course, also on a relative basis, the fiscal position might be less good as it would look on face value. Of course, this all may prove wrong once the market wakes up and spreads could rise fast and fiscal consolidation suddenly we had to happen fast. With that said, let's be optimistic here and discuss how a fiscal consolidation could be undertaken in a way that harms output the least. It is easy to see how aggressively cutting spending cuts or increasing taxes can be quite detrimental to a country's output and perhaps even nullify the attempt to reduce the debt to GDP ratio because of the drop in GDP that comes along with it. But that's only one possibility. It might also be the case that the strict credible fiscal consolidation path can reassure investors and can lead to lower interest rates and thereby buffering the adverse effect from fiscal consolidation.
Yeah, so there may also be smart ways of implementing a fiscal consolidation in the present circumstances, which are quite special because the labor market is so strong. Europe is at the moment, in a very different position than during the sovereign debt crisis in 2011-12. And there was also a big need for consolidation at that time, but the labor market was performing very badly with unemployment rates being much higher. In fact, this situation with a strong labor market provides governments with quite a unique opportunity. They could cut expenditures in a way that encourages increased labor market participation, and this would generate a double dividend. Reduce spending on the one hand, and increase tax revenue and output via increased labor market participation on the other hand. It would be a possibility for a win-win.
So a prime location to watch based on that argument is social spending that would reduce the incentives, that would increase the incentives to participate in the labor market. And Germany certainly has its own issues on this front too, and could also make progress. But more generally, there's strong empirical evidence that the adverse effect of fiscal consolidation depend on the cyclical position of a country, the strength of the labor market, as we just mentioned, but also the health of the banking system. Obviously, if the banking system is sitting a lot of bad loans, any further degradation of growth will then lead to self-fulfilling downward spirals. But looking from this angle, the starting position of the high deficit countries for fiscal position should be relatively favorable, certainly when compared to the financial crisis or the euro crisis.
Yes, another option is to encourage worker reallocation, to allocate workers to more productive uses and thereby increase GDP. This could help with narrowing the productivity gap against the US. It would require relaxing the rules on hiring and firing, and in a strong labor market, such as the one we currently have, such a relaxation could be implemented without much harm. Most displaced workers could quickly find new jobs. While these are feasible policies from which European economies could benefit, I fear that sufficient consolidation and labor market reform might not happen anytime soon. Only when financial markets wake up and put pressure on governments will they be willing to find the political maturities to move on these fronts. By then, the labor market could look perhaps quite differently, so that the resulting reforms would be more harmful compared to a situation where they were implemented now.
So to sum up, the current situation is not sustainable, or let's put it that way, it's been kind of sugar-coated by strong nominal GDP growth, which this year and the next year is unlikely to be repeated, making then the deficit numbers, the GDP ratios still very challenging. It's not just the fiscal slippage this year and last year that led to this kind of position. But looking at the past, you can see that repeated higher deficits in some of these countries then led to the high debt ratios we have, and that need to be at some point, rather earlier, I hope, be addressed. The new European fiscal rules, and this will be the first test for them, probably not going to help a lot, or at least based on past experience, the flexibility embedded in these rules is likely to go and be used to the max. But down the line, some difficult questions have to be answered. When that will happen may also depend on how the market eventually responds to all this. That's all for this week, and talk to you next week again.